And I thought I was going to preach it Sunday, but the Lord wouldn't let me preach it Sunday, and I was a little upset with him about that. Because I've been about ready for this one to get on out of here, and I don't know why. It's not one that I guess it's going to be hard to preach. I've never preached a message quite like this, but the Lord knows all things, and He knows what's needed here tonight. And I ask that you pray for us. So we try to bring just a portion of this reading. The 13th chapter of the book of Luke, 31st verse says this. And it says, "The same day there came certain out of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." If you'll turn with us to the 19th chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John. I have just a few more verses we need to read tonight, and you're probably going to think, how in the world is he going to get these two scriptures, these verses of scriptures to line up? And I'm going to be honest with you. If they ever match up tonight, it'll have to be by the help of the Lord, because I couldn't get it together. So the Lord's going to have to if he's going to get anything out of this tonight. If you'll turn with us to the 19th chapter of the book of John, 16th verse, and it says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus, and they led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst." And if we could, and I'm not going to title this just out of the gate tonight, but if we could just for a few moments tonight just get a glimpse of Jerusalem. A few weeks ago I preached a sermon here about getting a glimpse of hell. And I want you to realize tonight the significance of the city of Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem was an epicenter of all kinds of things that took place. Jerusalem was where many kings held a lot of power. There was a lot of things that took place out of this great city. You know, a lot of roads in this area, they converged here in Jerusalem. People came from miles around just to come to this city called Jerusalem. And I want you to realize tonight, if we could leave Mount Calvary Church for just a little while and go to a place called Jerusalem just for a few moments. Tonight, I'd like for us to visit a city called Jerusalem. And I want us to go back. I don't want to see any cars, and I don't want to see any airplanes, and I don't want us to see a tour like that, but I want us to go tonight on a tour of Jerusalem about the time of the Passover when Jesus would have been there. I want us to go back tonight and see Jerusalem for what was taking place. You see, in this time that I want to go back to, and it would be about the year 33 AD, you see what Jerusalem had become. Was a great city. There was a king that was ruling over everything. And his name was King Herod. You remember King Herod? Sister Stella made mention of this Sunday afternoon, and I had a conversation with a little boy, and he said King Herod was a bad, bad man. King Herod was fixing to get what was coming to him after a while. But I want you to know something tonight. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. How quickly you forget. I thought about Jerusalem this week, and I was sitting on the couch at home, and I don't even remember what I was doing, but the Lord took me back to a place called Jerusalem, and I've never been there. Never stepped foot there, but tonight I almost got a vision of what it must have looked like up there in Jerusalem those days right before Christ was crucified. Why, maybe if we were visiting tonight, if we could all go on a little trip over there, why, maybe they would take us in the gates. One of the gates there in the city of Jerusalem is called the Beautiful Gate. It's the gate that stares right in the face of Herod's temple. You know how long it took old Herod? You know, if we were going on a tour tonight, I like to take trips and I like to tour all the sites and the things that are around there. I like to go and I like to see everything there is to know about the place that I'm on vacation. But I'm going to tell you tonight, this trip we're taking, it wasn't a vacation. Where we're going tonight is a place of great wonderment to people still. Some of the things that took place. So maybe we'll be a tourist in the city of Jerusalem. You know, if we were there tonight and we had all just take back. And I want you to go with me. Leave this place for just a little while and go with me. I want you to imagine all of the buzz that must have been around this great city. You know, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, there was a great fanfare that took place while they laid down their palm leaves and they ushered Him in as the great Messiah, the great King there. They let Him ride in on that old colt. Can you imagine some of the things that must have been being said around Jerusalem? Why? Heard about that man named Jesus? I guess this may be a precursor to the first message I ever preached here at Mount Calvary, maybe. But can you imagine they were saying, there's a man named Jesus here in Jerusalem. Have you seen Him? I've heard that He's done some wonderful things. I hear there's some things going on that aren't too good. Maybe, just maybe, something bad's going to happen. Remember the verse of Scripture I read to you. This was before He ever got to Jerusalem. They told Him, the Pharisees told Him, they said, you just get out. You just leave. Because King Herod is going to get you. Well, the next time that He comes to Jerusalem, He's met with a great ceremony as He comes in. They're waving their palms at Him. Can you imagine standing there, maybe as a visitor, just walking by down the street, and just seeing them fan those palms toward this man, and them saying, oh, He's great, He's great. Maybe that's the first day of our tour as we see this man named Jesus enter the city called Jerusalem. Remember, He said, oh, Jerusalem, how quickly you forget. How quickly they're going to forget about this man named Jesus. Maybe the next day our tour might take us to some of the pools that are there in the city of Jerusalem. There's the pool of Bethesda. Beautiful place it must have been. The pool of Siloam. Well, you know, on the outside of Jerusalem, there's some beautiful things there. The Garden of Gethsemane was there. We're going to get there a little while later. On either side of Jerusalem, there was the Kidron Valley and the Hinnom Valley. On either side of Jerusalem. And I want you to know, around this great city in this time period, there was no open cities. They all had walls around them. Jerusalem was no different. In order for you to get in, you had to go through the gate. So we're going to go through the beautiful gate. And we're going to go there the day that Jesus is coming from Bethany. And He's going to come into this city called Jerusalem. And as I said, we're going to take those tours of all of the pretty things that Jerusalem may have. Well, I'm going to say tonight, Jerusalem was probably a very well-kept city, no doubt. There were great men of great influence there. The Sanhedrin court, while they met there many, many times. It was their home base almost. You know, Jerusalem was composed of almost three different sections. There was the upper city. In the upper city, there was Herod's palace. And in Herod's palace was a place that Pilate, if you remember who I'm talking about, Pontius Pilate, he had him a little place there, as the general of the army would have, or the great governor would have. So Herod had his big palace in the upper city. And Pilate had his place there. You know, in the upper city, there's also a great stadium. So maybe if we were taking a tour of Jerusalem tonight, maybe they would take us by this great stadium and tell us about all of the things that have taken place there. All of the great events that have been captured in this stadium and how wonderful that Jerusalem was. Maybe we'd see that. And I guarantee, as a good tour guide, while they'll take you to the most prominent places, nobody wants to see the bad things. You know, we got off a cruise ship a couple years ago there in the Bahamas, and they didn't want us to see any of the bad things. They wanted to show us all of the pretty sights that were there to behold. Why? They didn't want us to see the terrible places. But you know, Jerusalem had them. There was a city there, the lower city, in the Tyropian Valley. Was the lower city. It was the poor part of Jerusalem. Maybe that's probably where I'd have to stay if I was going.
They probably wouldn't let me in the upper city because I wouldn't have a whole lot of money. You know what's there in the lower city, though? One of those pools that I talked about, the Pool of Siloam. One of those places, if you go back in the Gospels, where the blind man Jesus said, go over there and dip yourself in the Pool of Siloam, and guess what happened to him? He come up and he could see. He could see. And you know, they probably wouldn't tell us about what had happened there with Jesus. They never mentioned those things. They wouldn't make the front page newspaper. You know, usually if you enter a place and you go on a tour of some place, there's highlights. Here in Nashville, they'd probably take us downtown and show us Music Row. Might show us to Nissan Stadium. Might take us to some of the better places here. They probably wouldn't take you over on Bell Road to show you where I live. But as we take a little bit more of a tour of Jerusalem, some of the other places that were there, there's big fortresses. There's a place there where they keep all of the prisoners. You see, in order to keep crime to a minimum, they had to have a place to keep all of the prisoners there. And it would have been butted up right to Herod's temple. If you could look at a map tonight, you would see Herod's temple being taken up a great big space there in the city of Jerusalem. We'll get there in just a moment. But this place with this big prison, some people say that's where that Pilate had his office or his place that he would eventually get to Jesus. But I believe it was over at Herod's. I believe that's where his stage would later become. And if the tour guide will take us there, maybe we'll get over to Pilate. Maybe we'll get over there. Maybe the tour guide will let us see those things. Or maybe he won't. But as we go a little farther, why we would see great aqueducts that were there. And you say, preacher, what's that got to do with the hill of beans? I want you to realize tonight, Jerusalem was a city of great means. Well, they had the best of the best of the best. Why? They wouldn't have had the things that the smaller cities would have had. It wouldn't have been a Bethany where there was very few people. They had the best of everything. Why? The tour guide might take us and show us, and he'd say, look at all of the things that Jerusalem has. Well, look at the innovations that Jerusalem has. And can you imagine walking down the street of Jerusalem? Maybe you're with your big tour and hear all of these people. And the conversation seems to get a little bit more morbid. Why? Have you heard about that man named Jesus? Well, we're there about the time of Passover. And so everybody knows what's going to take place at Passover. But there's some talk around there about this man named Jesus. He's come back up. The Roman government was getting a little upset with him. Oh, King Herod, why? He'd heard about the things that he'd been saying. You remember what he said in John chapter 2, verse 22? He said, I will destroy the temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. You know how long it took Herod to build that temple? 46 years. It took Herod 46 years to get that temple the way that he wanted. It had to be perfect. Well, you look at that temple when you get home tonight. You go Google what they thought it looked like. It was a beautiful place. Everything in Herod's temple had to be perfect. Inlaid in gold. Why, they had to have the most beautiful altar furniture. You know, the walls around Herod's temple were 15 stories high. And they were white stone. An expensive stone then. Why, Herod's temple had to be great. Had to be the best of the best. And you know what? The whole highlight of our tour would be that temple. Or so they think. We might get to go in and we might get to look around, you know, but there's going to be a place where we can't go. We've talked about it before here at Mount Calvary. They wouldn't let us go in to the holiest of holies in that temple. Well, that was only for the high priest. We couldn't go there. None of us would make the grade tonight to go in there. They wouldn't even let us look at it, most likely. Or so they think. But we would see it nonetheless. There are great stairs that would go up to it. Why? I want you to just know tonight, if we were in Jerusalem, everybody would want you to see Herod's temple. Why, it would be the greatest thing that that city had. Herod's palace was a great palace. It was bigger than any house or place in that city other than this temple. Boy, they made big fanfare out of it. It's a big thing. But, you know, the feast of the Passover is fixing to happen. And so maybe one day on our tour, They might take us outside the walls of Jerusalem. Maybe we get to go look outside and see some of the things that were there. You know, one of the stops they might take us might be the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, most of the time on these tours, while they have a timetable, they know who's going to be there so that tours don't get mixed up and there's no delays on this tour that we're going on, but maybe the times would be mixed up. And as we got there, your tour guide may get a little frantic. And they say, "What's this guy? What are you talking about?" And if we could look out into the Garden of Gethsemane tonight, maybe we'd see some men that were sleeping. Just laid out, sleeping. You remember what Jesus told them? He says, "You watch and you pray with me over in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm going to go here and pray, and you watch and you pray with me all night long." Jesus went back and they were sleeping. So maybe if we walked by, we'd see some men in there sleeping. And then we'd look over and there'd be one man. He'd be pouring his heart out to God. The Bible says that his sweat turned to great drops of blood. But before the tour guide could get us out of there, we've already seen what's taken place. And as we left, maybe we'd say, "Well, who was that man?" And somebody might say, "Well, you know, I think I've heard that that man's name is Jesus and we don't like him. Have you heard about what he's done? Have you heard what he said about Herod's temple? You remember what we saw the other day about that temple? How beautiful that it was. And he's claiming that he can raise that again in 3 days. Why, he's just a blasphemer. Why, we don't want anything to do with that man." And shortly after the tour would leave, maybe those Roman soldiers would come and they would take Jesus off. You remember what happened that night? They came to him and they arrested him. They made allegations toward this man about some things that he'd been doing. They'd heard about all of the wondrous things that he'd done, but those things didn't make the front page newspaper. We didn't hear about those. Hush, hush, we want to keep those quiet. That'd be the tour today. We wouldn't want to mention the name of Jesus. We might offend somebody today. Couldn't have his name broadcast anywhere. But they would arrest him, and we might go on just a little bit. On the back burner, on all of this, things we wouldn't hear about. I guarantee you, when you went back to your hotel room, they didn't have News Channel 5 that said, "Oh, Jesus had been arrested." You wouldn't have known about it. They'd have probably never told you. But slowly but surely, the news would be getting out. The news would be getting out. You see what happened at the Passover, one person that had been jailed while they would get out. They were going to be released from their crimes that they had committed. You know, the tour guide's going to make a mistake again. And he's going to take us to Herod's palace. Jesus had already been to King Herod. And King Herod had sent him back to Pilate. And he said, "You do with him what you will, but you find him guilty." We hadn't heard about that yet. But you get back to Pilate's hall. And the tour guide's coming by, and what do we hear as we're there? Just listen. Can you hear it? Pilate may look at them, and at this point the tour guide can't do anything. You've lost all hope in your tour guide. He can't even rip you away from what's taking place. This would be one of those things you wouldn't get to see on every tour. This would be one of those after hours part maybe. But you might hear the howling mob as they said, "Oh, crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate would say, "But I find no fault in this man." But you know what has been told? "Oh, he's a blasphemer. Oh, we don't like this man. We want him to die. We want him to be the one. Don't you release Jesus to us. Why, you let Barabbas go. Barabbas was a murderer." But those people, can you hear them tonight? Can you hear the mob as they cry and they say, "Oh, crucify Jesus. Let him be the one go." And at this point, you're howling with them. "Yes, I crucify that man. Let him be the one go to the cross. Let him be the one go." Sure. Let him be the one take the fault. Let him be the one take the blame. You're a tourist there, but I guarantee you we would have all been crying out with the mob, you crucify that man. You let him be the one that goes to the cross. You let him go. And so he goes. Tour guide may try to whisk you away, but you're already with the mob. Why, you've already gotten in there with them. Nothing you do is going to back you out of there. Well, you're going with them, and I want you to know they led him straightway to be beat and mocked. They didn't waste any time on this. Why, he didn't go back to his jail cell, and they tell him, we'll get you in 3 days. Oh, 3 days. No, no. The tourist wouldn't see this, but you're getting an inside track tonight. They would have whisked you away. We would want you to see this. Don't get a bad name from Jerusalem tonight. Well, we want you to see the best that there is. We don't want you to see the bad things. And as they beat him, and maybe we're sitting there howling with him. Can you hear it tonight? Can you just listen to what was taking place there? Can you just imagine in your mind the malice and the hurt that those people had toward Jesus, the King of the world? And here you are just howling with them, just calling out. Can you just imagine? And then somebody's got to take Jesus and get him out to the hill called Golgotha. You know, that wasn't on the trip. The city of the place of Golgotha, the place of the skull, why, that would have never made the trip. They would have never made your itinerary. They would have never let you see the place where they crucified men. Never ever would you have seen that. But you're fixing to see it. You're fixing to see it. And so here we go down the streets of Jerusalem. Remember what Jesus said. How quickly you forget, O Jerusalem. How quickly you forget. Maybe the same street that Jesus came down as the man that they loved, maybe the next time he's bearing the weight of his cross. And I want you to know something tonight, brothers and sisters and sinner friends. That cross was for you. The same man, the same tourist that cries out and says, yes, you crucify him. That was for you. Little did you know. But not yet. As we go down the street, and I want you to just listen tonight. Can you hear them? Can't you almost just hear them calling out about how bad that he was? How awful this man named Jesus was! All he had ever done was heal people, dine and sup with sinners. What did he do? He changed lives. But these people wanted to crucify him. Didn't want anything to do with this man named Jesus. They'd already made up their mind. Barabbas had been let go. But we're getting closer. Just think how lucky you are tonight. You'd get to see something nobody else that visits Jerusalem would get to see. You get to see the hill called Calvary. Can you imagine as that gate swung open and you looked up and you saw up there this hill called Calvary just right raised up above. You just looked out and maybe it was sloped down and sloped back up and there was this place there called the Hill of Golgotha, the place of the skull. And you're going. The whole mob is going to go with you. Getting closer. Still hear them hollering out. Can you hear them just crying out, crucify him. Get rid of him. Maybe Herod's sitting in his palace just watching, saying, I finally got him. Same one Herod had been trying to get all of Jesus' life. He thought, I'm fixing to get him. I finally got him exactly where I want him. I'm fixing to get this man named Jesus. I'm going to be done with him. Little did you know. As you get to the place called Calvary. And as they begin to drive those nails, the palm of his hand, placing the crown of thorns. Why, you know what he told them there in Pilate's hall? Actually, you know what Pilate said? He said, "Don't you claim to be the king of the Jews? Don't you claim to be the one who's been going around saying, 'I'm the king, I'm the one, I'm their leader.'" He said, "You said it, not me," in so many words. He said, "Thou sayest, but you said it, not me." So they placed a mock crown on him, and you're just sneering at him, just thinking, "Oh, I can't wait till you're gone." I want you to know something. Every one of us that's here tonight, you'd say, "Preacher, I would never be in that mob." If you were there that day, you would have been screaming out for him to be crucified. You would have gone with those people while you wouldn't have known any better. You would have been right there with them. You say, "Preacher, I wouldn't have." We would have been right there with those people. As they began to take that crown of thorns and place them on his head, and maybe they just knock it down a little bit deeper, make it a little bit worse on him, drive those nails into his hands. Listen, you hear it? Can you hear the nails tonight? I've been around some railroad ties that have been beaten in, and you just hear that hammer as it rings out. I believe you could have heard it over the howling mob that night, or that day. I believe if we were there, we'd hear it over everything. As those nails went into his hands and his feet, so that those that were there that day, that they could be saved. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? Saying, "Crucify him." Casting lots for his clothes. Why? "Just crucify him. Let's get this show on the road." And maybe we're standing afar off. And they begin to raise the cross. You just see him hanging there between the heavens and the earth. On a cross. The man they thought they couldn't get, they finally got him. Hanging between the heavens and the earth. The great sacrifice of all of the world. Oh, if they can only know. But we see a cross. We see a cross. You know what that cross meant? Maybe you're the tourist that says, "Maybe we've messed up." This man on the cross, do you hear him? Hear what he's saying. He's calling out to the Lord. And those verses that I read to you over in John chapter 19 says he bore his cross and went from into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Remember the little conversation he had with the Lord? He said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Hey, can you imagine? Looking up, and there's the cross. Oh, Jerusalem, how quickly you forget. How quickly you have forgotten about this man named Jesus. But guess what? There's a cross for every one of you. There's some bridges you can't get over, but there's a cross for the lost. There's a cross even for those that were there that day. Matthew says this about a centurion. Brother Colin caught me slipping in Sunday school the other day, and I kind of messed up, gave him some scripture I was going to use tonight. You know what the centurion realized? As Jesus gave up the ghost. You see, they were coming. Before sun went down, guess what had to happen? Those men had to have died. Why, there couldn't be anybody on the cross on that next day, on the Sabbath day. No, no. They were coming for him. You know what they're going to do? They're going to break those legs. But the Bible says that not one bone should be broken. Not one bone. I don't believe he broke a bone. But he gave up the ghost. And I've preached this before, but the veil in that Herod's temple, the great temple, you know what? It was rent from top to bottom. Amen. The place you and I couldn't go anymore. We could finally go. We could finally touch Jesus because the veil was rent from top to bottom. They thought he was talking about that temple, Herod's beautiful temple. Oh, but if they only realized that they were looking at the greatest site on the tour. They were looking at the real temple. They didn't realize they'd gotten their money's worth. They'd seen the greatest thing this world has ever known. They saw a cross, but even greater than that, they saw a man die for their sins. I love the cross tonight. But even more than I love that old cross, they could have hung him on a hexagon and that'd have been alright. But it's what and who went to the cross for you and me. It's that Jesus would die for you and me. You know what the world does today in 2016? They still cry out, crucify Him. You crucify Him. He's the one that's done wrong, not us. He's the one that needs to hang. He's the one. You know, the best news I have for you tonight is there's still a cross. The gulf has not been taken away tonight. That great gulf still has a cross over it. The Bible says that there's going to be a great gulf fixed between hell and heaven. Do you know there's a cross over that tonight? For every one of us. The world didn't realize that day. But oh Jerusalem, a great city was going to crucify the greatest man that had ever lived. Oh Jerusalem, how quickly you forget. I'm not going to worry your patience much longer tonight, but I want to tell you just one more time about another Jerusalem. Very quickly tonight. I want to tell you about a Jerusalem that John saw coming down from God out of heaven. Jerusalem would have been a great city then. Well, it would have been an epicenter, as I told you. One of the greatest cities probably in that time. But the next Jerusalem is going to be beautiful. John described it over in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelations. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with us over Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21. Oh, you know what? I never got to see that Jerusalem. But this next Jerusalem I'm going to see. You know the best... best thing about that Jerusalem? You know the best thing about it? Best thing about that Jerusalem? There's not going to be one cross. There's not going to be one cross in that new Jerusalem. There won't need to be another cross. There'll never be another cross for you. You better believe in the one that's already hung on the cross, because the next Jerusalem that's coming, you won't have a part in if you've not been saved. This new Jerusalem that God, or John saw from God out of heaven, it was beautiful. You know what it was prepared for? His church. Jesus established that church. Herod thought he had a temple. Oh, but there was a temple. There was a church established while Jesus walked on this earth. The greatest institution this world has ever known. And that new Jerusalem is going to be for them that are in the bride. Oh, what a Jerusalem that's going to be. There won't be anybody having to be in a whole pool to be healed. Because you want to know what's going to happen in that new Jerusalem? There's not going to be a poor city. And there's not going to be a rich city. And the Bible says the gate will never close. You want to talk about a beautiful gate in that new Jerusalem? Oh, it's going to be a beautiful gate, but it will never close. You see, even though I believe that the bride has that new Jerusalem, I believe that everybody that goes to heaven has access to that new Jerusalem. I want you to understand something tonight. And I want to read this. I want to make another remark about that new Jerusalem, how Herod had his temple. There won't be a temple in that new one. Not to Herod, not to anybody, because Jesus Himself is the temple. Won't be a sun. He's the light of that city. No need for a sun because He lights it. no need for a church. Why? Because there won't be a preacher standing behind one of these old things telling you about a cross that you've got to believe in a man who died for you. Won't be any more of that. Why? That's all done away with in that New Jerusalem. You won't need a cross there because those that are there have believed in the one that died on a cross. I want to read this to you tonight, and I'm going to try to close. 21st chapter, first verse. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John," a little bit envious, old John, sometimes. He got to see some beautiful things. But I'm not envious for long, because guess what? My day's coming. Brother Colin sang that song, "I am going to a city." I'm going there. Why? Because the one on the cross said I could go. You know how everybody has to come tonight? They might not let the tourists go by the cross, but you know how everybody that ever goes to heaven has to go? They've got to go by the cross. You can't go any other way. You've got to go by the one who died on the cross and the blood that was shed there for you. You've got to go that way. If I put a bridge out in front of this, if I had a big ditch and or a big culvert, and there was one bridge, you wouldn't try to jump off and jump in the ditch to get over on the side. You take the bridge. Tonight there's a cross that covers the gulf. Won't you take the cross? Won't you take the way that's before you and leave everything else behind? Right. It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." It's the bride of Christ, the church. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Isn't that wonderful tonight? Aren't you ready to go to Jerusalem? And I'm not talking about the one in 33 AD. I'm talking about the one, the New Jerusalem, and the only way you'll go is by the cross. If I were to title this message tonight, it would be, "But I Saw a Cross." I'm glad one night, as a little boy, 11 years old, knelt down in front of a group of people. I didn't care who was there. President George W. Bush was in office, and he could have been standing right in front of me. I'd have knelt down right there. But you know what I saw? I saw the cross. Can't you see it tonight? I want you to realize something. I'm going to close. Jesus told them, and I believe if we'll turn over there for just a moment, this is the last scripture that I'll read tonight. And I've got a few closing remarks, and I'll try to close. Turn with me to the 24th chapter, the book of Matthew. Chapter of the book of Matthew, second verse says this, "And Jesus said to His disciples, See not all these things," He was talking about the buildings and the temple there in the city of Jerusalem. He said, "See not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Herod thought a lot of that temple over there in the city of Jerusalem, but you want to know something? That temple's not there today. But the temple that was raised in 3 days, it's still here. His body's not here. That's long gone. But He rose 3 days later for you and for me. I want to tell you tonight, and I'm going to close with this. You can believe in anything that you want to. You can. But you better believe in the cross, and you better believe in the one who died on it. Because if you're ever going to go to heaven, that's how you'll go. You'll have to go to the cross tonight. You're going to have to not look at me, and you're not going to have to look at yourself. You can't look at your mind and the things that you've done, the things that you want to do, but you've got to look to Jesus tonight to save your soul. Don't you look at us. Don't you look at this church. Don't you look at anything else. Don't you look at the Bible. Don't you look at what you think you've heard or what you think you know. But you look to the One who can save your soul. And when you get there, and you get to the end of yourself, guess what you'll see? You'll see the cross. I'm glad one night that I saw an old cross. The cross didn't save me, but the One who died on it did. I'm thankful that He did. Hope you've enjoyed your tour of Jerusalem tonight, but I want you to know this. If you don't get saved, you and old Herod are going to have one thing in common. You're going to rebel against Jesus Christ and you're going to go to hell. I believe that old King Herod the Great that he was, I believe he's in hell tonight. Are you going to rail against him and say, crucify him? Or are you going to be the one that says, but that's the cross. And he's the one that died for me. Let's get us a song together and let's stand tonight. If you want to be saved, you've got to see that cross. You've got to see the One who died on it. Look at that cross tonight and tell me. I wish one person tonight would tell me that they don't believe in the cross. This world would tell me that there's no cross. But I want you to know there was a cross, but someday there won't be. May God help you tonight is my prayer. While we stand together,